Trend number 5, reinvigorating the national defense industrial base. As in the 20th century, the best way to ensure that a Cold War does not become a hot one is by maintaining an overwhelming lead in terms of both the quality and quantity of weaponry. Hitler invaded the USSR in 1941 because he realized Germany enjoyed only a brief window of time before Soviet war production exceeded its own. That same year, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, realizing that delaying would permit the United States to dramatically upgrade its Pacific Fleet and give it a permanent advantage in terms of offensive capability. Today, the Chinese and Russians don't hold an edge vis-a-vis the United States and its allies on any meaningful metric. From missiles to aircraft, to warships to satellites, to natural resources and logistical support, China, Russia, and Iran can't compete with the United States, Japan, and the UK. As a result, military adventurism in Europe or Asia is preempted as long as America's alliance makes sure the economic and military price to be paid for such aggression is prohibitive. And that's only possible if we can ensure that Russia and China never approach parity with the U.S. As we saw in the 20th century, the current status quo portends a long war of economic attrition. And this clearly favors the alliance with the larger and stronger network. And the biggest risks arise from the kinds of proxy wars that trapped the United States in Vietnam and the USSR in Afghanistan. Maintaining that edge requires a highly competitive defense industry ready to respond to changing needs. Since military procurement peaked during the Iraq War, America's defense needs have changed dramatically. Following the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, U.S. forces concentrated on asymmetric warfare against dispersed non-state actors and their relatively unsophisticated state sponsors. To the extent that other superpowers were involved, it was in the roles of arms merchant or technical advisor. During the Obama years, Congress and the DoD recognized that the United States needed to stay on the cutting edge of military technology, but they were unwilling to commit to major procurement programs when the nature of future threats was so uncertain. As a result, procurement shrank, but R&D remained strong. So, while the military suffers from deployment shortfalls, it has a pipeline full of new state-of-the-art solutions ready to be rolled out. Each year, the National Defense Industrial Association, or NDIA, publishes a report card on the adequacy of America's defense industrial base to do the job of equipping the United States and its allies to meet anticipated challenges. This report card looks at 40 metrics grouped into 8 categories: competition, production inputs, demand, innovation, industrial security, supply chain readiness, productive capacity, and political and regulatory constraints. In a nutshell, America's defense industrial base has seen a surge in demand and production capacity as the Trump administration has worked to upgrade and replenish the arms stockpile, while deploying new weapons which were in development during the Obama years. Meanwhile, it has seen a clear deterioration of supply chain readiness, industrial security, and political and regulatory constraints. Problems related to supply chain reliability are particularly striking. These include those plagued by single sources of supply, fragile suppliers, foreign dependency, and other such risks. But fortunately, these problems are being aggressively addressed. As of January, 14 presidential determinations have been issued that focus on addressing strategic industrial base risks identified in a comprehensive DoD report. These determinations have indicated that materials such as sonobuoys, lithium seawater batteries, and critical chemicals for missiles and munitions needed special project funding to help mitigate the risks in those industries. By addressing these problems now, the defense industry will be more resilient when national security challenges arise. Deterioration on the political and regulatory front is problematic, but not surprising. Defense is an area which gets a lot of attention from Congress when a new threat is front and center, but it's easy to ignore when there are more pressing concerns. Notably, as of last year, 77% of Americans polled by Gallup said that we were still spending too little on defense. As people realized that COVID-19 and myriad other higher-profile problems came from China, and that China is working proactively to interfere with our political processes, Congress and the administration will refocus on a multi-tiered defense strategy. By far the most alarming of the deteriorating categories is industrial security. In 2019, industrial security scored a 63, the lowest among the eight dimensions tracked. Industrial security has become increasingly relevant because massive data breaches by state and non-state actors have increasingly plagued defense contractors in recent years. According to MITRE Corporation, new cyber vulnerabilities identified in the years 2016 to 2018 were almost double those discovered between 2014 to 2016. Given the Russian and Chinese high competence in cyber warfare, this is probably the biggest area of concern facing America's defense industry. Given this trend, we offer the following forecasts for your consideration. First, the great battles of the 21st century Cold War will be fought in cyberspace with the support of human intelligence. This is the one area in which China begins the war with a clear competitive advantage. However, it's probably the most volatile area of modern warfare, where competitive advantage can shift very quickly. Expect the United States and its allies to close the gap quickly as Chinese products and services are increasingly banned by OECD governments and firms. Second, the recent deterioration in supply chain resiliency will be resolved as the DoD helps companies address single sources of supply, fragile suppliers, foreign dependency, and other such risks. In the cost-driven, just-in-time era, it's easy for companies to become overly dependent on supply chains that are not sufficiently robust. In normal times and in normal industries, that's often an acceptable risk. But when it comes to national security, it's not. Until 2017, there was no formal mechanism for ensuring the resilience of defense contractor supply chains, but now there is. If all goes according to plan, we should almost never have a situation where a vendor fails to deliver because of upstream problems. Third, America's great strength is innovation, and it will continue to lead in this area. In an effort to translate the pipeline of innovations into deployed weapons systems, the current administration has increased America's already strong defense R&D budget. This advantage will increase as the United States and its allies work to erect a technological iron curtain, shutting China out of the digital mainstream. Soon, consumers worldwide will be forced to choose between Western products, including those from Japan, and Chinese products. This is important because there are so many synergies between military and civilian technologies. During the 20th century Cold War, the Soviets were severely handicapped by limited access to affluent Western consumer markets and the industries underpinning them. Until now, China has not had that problem, but sanctions related to everything from Hong Kong to religious minorities to intellectual property theft will quickly take the toll on their ability to buy and sell mainstream technology. Over time, this will impede China's ability to compete with Western defense technologies as well. Fourth, by 2022, the DoD will succeed in reversing recent deterioration in the national defense industrial base caused by political and regulatory constraints. And fifth, America's national defense industrial base will be able to meet any demand surge we're likely to face during the Sino-American Cold War. Unlike a hot conventional battle, it's a long, grinding war of attrition. Political and economic weapons are typically more important than arms in such a struggle. Arms and other resources are primarily used for deterring aggression and tamping down hotspots. Mega programs like the renewal of America's nuclear arsenal are undertaken over a decade or more, while a great deal of the resources go into constantly upgrading existing platforms. Occasionally, there are surges because of unexpected shortages, but the current administration has already minimized this contingency by making large one-time purchases of aircraft and missile components depleted over the prior decade. And while some surges can't be anticipated, the industry could readily accommodate a 300% surge in demand for consumables like ammunition and ordnance in the event of a major conventional confrontation.
Thank you for joining us this month to explore the latest trends and the ways in which they will impact your business, your career, and your life. All of us here at Trends invite you back next month when we will focus on more of the trends that are now emerging to shape your future.